In the beginning, you know, we all did understand that creativity maybe comes from somewhere else rather than ourselves, and so on and so forth. But then it does appear that the question of getting to that place beyond ourselves might not be as simple as it seemed, and it might be there might be things in us that resist going to that place. There might be fear. I don't know if anybody discovered a certain kind of fear or resistance to the idea of being nobody. In a way, it's very relaxing, you know, I suppose. But on the other hand, it's maybe a little scary, or maybe there's something in us resists it or doesn't like it. And then even if we could find our path there, then how do you then, you know, engage the somebody part of you without activating all your hang-ups, right? That's the problem, because as soon as you re-enter the question, now all of a sudden, you know, all your whatever it is that your favorite, you know, strategy for screwing yourself up is, that becomes activated, and then it stands in the way of the nobody. So it's not a simple matter, is it? And it might take some, just like I would say that the path of getting to nobody on the cushion in our lives, as we see, takes work and discipline over time. It may also be the case that the path of getting that somebody, that nobody, to express itself, what we're talking about here, I think, is getting the nobody that we are to express itself through the mouth of the somebody that we are, without the somebody that we are resisting that and making a mess out of that, right? Or worrying about it too much. So let me hear some comments, and then we'll break for lunch. What did you find? What did you... Yes?
With great amusement, I noted this. I'm capable of writing without much forethought. I can't do that thing. But the thing that I have no control over at all is what happens after that, which is this kind of automatic evaluative activity.
Yes. And does this happen while you're writing? The evaluative voice comes in while you're writing.
But this sort of continual assessing of, you know, good mind, not mind, that is happening at the same time that, you know, the beautiful hands going on and making the cool mind.
Yes. It is amazing to watch. So I would say myself that the nobody is absolutely fearless. Somebody has a lot of questions and a lot of evaluations and a lot of, because somebody is already thinking about how's this going to look, you know. You know. So then learning how to manage that becomes a real issue in creativity, right? Yes?
I had a similar experience. I was writing and then I wrote something that all of a sudden my mind thought, oh, that's very pithy. I should read it out loud to the group.
Yeah, right. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Right. Yeah. Other things, yes.
I really liked this process, but it was very, on the one hand, it was really frightening to me how exhausted I've made myself over a very long period of time, despite being on this path for, you know, better part of 15 years. And it's funny because I've had this book that I've wanted to write for a long time, and every time I sit down and do it, I just sit there and write, and just as I wrote, I felt exhausted. And then as I got to the place where I was sick of my exhaustion, it actually felt like it was a lot freer.
Yeah.
But I think what I just saw is a sense of, oh my gosh, I make things really complicated.
Yeah. So how can you find a way to let that free place arise? What's the pathway to it? Yeah. Yes, behind you, yes.
I was thinking back to 20 years ago, I guess, thereabouts, when I was working on my doctoral dissertation.
Yes.
And there would be, I exaggerate not, hours at a time when I would be typing away, banging around the keyboard, and I was in a certain point in the dissertation that was absolutely, that I found absolutely riveting, fascinating.
Uh-huh.
And the text just flowed in my fingers onto the word processor, and hours could go by, and subjectively it would seem like 10 minutes.
Yes.
And during that time, I think there could have been a war happening outside my study, and I wouldn't have known about it because I was. And I say all this by way of saying that when they took our first break, I went down and went out there and tried my hand at writing poetry.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing happened again, not for hours, but for 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I just sat down, and when I looked down in my lap, I looked, there was a finished article. And yet in all of those cases, it wasn't something that I didn't enter into that state with any kind of intentionality. It had very much the character, and still does have the character, something that just sort of happens to me.
Yes. Well, that's, you use the word intention and intentionality. And this is a very interesting and important point, I think, because in spiritual practice there's a lot of talk about intention and developing intention and investigating one's intention. But I think you're right that there's a sense of non-intentionality that's also a part of who we are and what we're doing. It's interesting you brought up the example of your dissertation. I'm assuming that when you wrote your dissertation, there was a certain amount of study and learning and training behind the dissertation. That you didn't just sit down, you know, from zero and begin writing a dissertation. So this was a case then of a lot of preparation and knowledge that was maybe intentional and laborious, suddenly being overtaken by a non-intentional nobody that flowed through you and grabbed a hold of you and your knowledge and said, I'm going to have my way with you now. Never mind about you. I'm going to do this now. And as you seem to imply, there's a wonderful sense of liberation in that. There's a happiness in that. We feel happy to be well used by something that flows through us. And we feel, as you were saying, we feel burdened to feel like, and exhausted to feel like we have got to do something. Especially when we're, as we heard from over here, especially when we're thinking, and they'll think I'm great when I do this. Or they'll think, maybe not so great when I do this. Just that very thought, I mean, it is a rather astonishing thing that you said, that just that thought intervening in its and of itself puts a brake on what's possible. So, it's very interesting. I mean, I think that all these things, my guess is we all know all this, but it's one thing to know it and another thing to see it demonstrated in right in front of our eyes, right? And to have the experience of it, of seeing it. That's another thing. And so, I guess what we have to do is have practices and ways of evoking these various experiences. In other words, if we don't engage this, and it happens once in a while, we don't learn from these experiences. But if we engage them over and over again, know what we're aiming toward, know what the obstacles are, get used to what it feels like to be stopped by the obstacles, then next time the thought comes, you understand, you know, where it's coming from and what it does to you, and you can work with it differently. So it's, I think, probably the irony of the fact that inspiration, spontaneity, creativity probably requires repetition, training, effort. The effortless requires effort somehow. It's kind of interesting. Well, maybe we leave it there, and there's lots more to say, and we have an afternoon to go into this further.